Sundays, we've been taking a closer look at what our church teaches about the Eucharist, drawn principally from the Bible, and we've even talked a little bit about the history of doctrine. If you've missed the past couple of Sundays, or haven't been to either Father Tomlinson's Masses or my Masses, then remember the homilies are up on the website, so we're both talking about the same thing. So in case you missed it, get up to speed on all of those things that we've been talking about. In my bulletin column for the next few weeks, we'll be looking at some of the church's discipline regarding who can receive Holy Communion and when. So I encourage you to read those as well. But this Sunday and next Sunday, as we continue to meditate on John chapter 6, which has been kind of our meat for the last few weeks during the Gospel for the Mass, I want to look at how we can get more out of Holy Communion. Now, before I get to that, though, I have to kind of preface it with something. It's no secret that Christian churches of all denominations are feeling a lot of pressure to make their worship services more relevant, more meaningful. These are the kind of adjectives that you hear a lot when Christians talk about what they're trying to do in their services. Even within the Catholic Church, there are places which have made a conscious decision to try to create or fabricate a certain style of worship. And so what has happened is that often within the same town, you can go from one Catholic parish to the next and think that you're in an entirely different religion because they seem so different. Okay? And part of this is part of the diversity of our faith, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, though, we also have to be careful that, we have a unity to our worship as Catholics. And we certainly don't want to get in the situation of saying, well, this is how we do it here, and if you like it, you can stay, and if you don't like it, then you can go down the street. Well, that's not really very Catholic, is it? Okay? We're one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's one Mass. We have to realize that the mind of the church is very clear that the Mass is the worship of God. It's nothing else. Remember that the first time the Israelites thought that the worship of God was about them and not about God, remember what happened? They created a golden calf and started to worship it. So Moses had to come down from Mount Sinai and threw a fit. He melted the calf, okay, and forced the Jews to drink water which was contaminated with the ashes. Okay? He said, y'all need to get your liturgical act together. This is not how we worship God. Okay, now don't worry. I'm never going to do that here at Prince of Peace or anywhere else. Don't worry. Okay. But it reminds us, why are we here? What are the ends, the goals, the objectives of the Mass? Well, there's a handy mnemonic device that you can use to remember them, and I think it's important for us to go back to those things. And it's the word part, P-A-R-T. Okay? So we're going to go through those today. Okay? And you can remember it because we all have a part to play in the Mass. We all participate in the Mass. P, prayer. Okay? We remember that the Mass is the high priestly prayer of Jesus offering himself to the Father in the unity of the Spirit. All of us participate in that offering. Okay? It's not just something that the priest does up here at the altar. We all participate in that offering by uniting ourselves to this great action of the Mass. It's not a time for individual private prayer, me and Jesus alone time. Okay? Everybody needs me and Jesus alone time, but that's not what we're doing here. The Mass is that communal act of the whole body of Christ representing the entire Paschal mystery in prayer. It's an amazing thing to think that in every Catholic church all over the world, we're all praying the same prayer. There's a tremendous sense of unity that comes from that. Because it's not just, I want to do this or I want to do that other thing, and, let's do that here. It's that great thing which unites us in our faith. A, of part, adoration. The Mass is not meant to be a Bible study, or an inspirational TED talk, or a catechism lesson. All those things are fantastic. We need more of them. We need more of them in the church. But that's not what the Mass is. The Mass is, I like to tell people, a complete and total waste of time. Okay? Now you may be thinking, wait a minute, did he really just say that? Okay. It's wasting time with our Lord. It's an act of pure praise, adoration, and thanksgiving to the Father. There's nothing useful, there's nothing utilitarian about what we're doing here. It's pure prayer. R of part, reparation. In the Mass, we receive the body and blood of Christ, which were offered to the Father in atonement, in reparation for our sins. At Mass, we undo the ancient curse of the serpent and receive an increase of sanctifying grace, the gifts of God to make up for our sins. When we come to Mass, we offer up the saving victim for our sins, for the sins of others, for those in purgatory who can't merit anything for themselves, for those who have no one to pray for them. And finally, the last letter of part, T, thanksgiving. The Mass is an act of giving thanks to God for all of the gifts He has given us, and most of all, for creating, redeeming, and sanctifying us. I think the more that we think about these four ends, objectives of the Mass, prayer, adoration, reparation, and thanksgiving, then it brings us back to why we're doing what we're doing, okay? And that it's not about us, it's about God. The more we realize what the Mass really is, the more we surrender ourselves to what is really happening in the Mass, the more we fall in love with it. Okay? You know, if we come to church, and you've heard me say this a million times, you're probably sick of hearing it, but I'm going to keep on saying it, so there we are. Okay, if we come to church with the attitude, okay, so what's in it for me? Okay? What about my needs? What about my wants? We're never going to get much out of Mass. All of a sudden, the Mass becomes kind of boring, okay? Well, it's not meeting my needs, so who needs it? And soon enough, not only do we get bored at Mass, but we don't even want to go anymore. But when we reorient our hearts and lift them up in praise and adoration at Mass, that's when things really begin to happen in our spiritual lives. And there are times in which, you know, our lives can be really crazy. That our lives, we can't see how we're going to put one foot in front of the next and get through the day. And if we come to Mass and we're not able to put that aside for those few minutes of praise and adoration, then all we're going to feel is the burden of life. But when we're able to say, okay, there's all this craziness going on, and I know it's going to be waiting for me when I walk out those church doors, but Jesus, this is your time, and I'm here to praise, to worship, to bless you, then all of a sudden we find that that burden is a little bit lighter. We have more grace and more strength to be able to carry those things. I want you to think about the testimony of the saints about the Mass. You know, I love talking about the saints. I can never get enough of the saints. And so this is going to be rapid random fire quotations from saints. Okay, Padre Pio. It would be easier for the world to survive without the Son than to do without Holy Mass. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's not just romantic talk, it's true. St. Thomas Aquinas, the celebration of Holy Mass is as valuable as the death of Jesus on the cross. All of us know that what Jesus did for us on the cross has more meaning and more value than anything else that has ever happened in the world. But the Mass is that same mystery. And that's why the Mass is the most important thing in the world. Saint Jean-Marie Vianney, if we really understood the Mass, we would die of joy. Christ appeared to Saint Gertrude the Great and said, "For each Mass you hear with devotion, I will send a saint to comfort you at death." And St. Anselm, a single Mass offered for oneself during life may be worth more than 1,000 celebrated for the same intention after death. So often, you know, we think of offering Mass for our loved ones, which is a wonderful thing, you know. We're not just trying to pray them out of purgatory, but it's a beautiful way of remembering those that we love. But why shouldn't we also have Mass offered for ourselves, for all of those prayer intentions that we have? And even if you know, can't have the Mass offered for a specific thing, still unite your intention to that, you know? Come to Mass and say, you know what, I want to offer this Mass for this specific intention of prayer that I have. We enter into the Mass like that. The saints knew that the Mass is in some way a school of holiness, where we learn to be true disciples of Christ. They also knew that we share the fruits of the sacrifice of Calvary in the Mass when we come devoutly and in the state of grace to receive Holy Communion. And there's a lot of amazing things that the saints say about that. St. Francis de Sales has perhaps one of the most beautiful images I've ever come across for this. He says, "When the bee has gathered the dew of heaven and earth's sweetest nectar from flowers, it turns it into honey. In the same way, the priest, having taken from the altar the Son of God, who is as dew from heaven and true Son of Mary, flower of our humanity, gives him to you as delicious food." St. Jose Maria Escrivá, you know, the man whose portrait we have over there and whose relics we have in the church, he says, "When you approach the tabernacle, remember, he has been waiting for you for 20 centuries. That is incredible, that when we come into church, that our Lord, who is here in the tabernacle, he's been waiting for you since his incarnation in the Holy Land 20 centuries ago. He's waiting for you in the Adoration Chapel. He's waiting for you in the Mass." Saint Jean-Marie Vianney, "All the good works in the world are not equal to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because they are the works of men. But the Mass is the work of God." You know, as Catholics, we are very proud, and justly so, that, you know, our church does more for so many people and so many good works and good things than any other organization that's ever existed in the history of the world. And we should be proud of that, and we have to continue to do that, because that's what we do as Catholics. But those are works of us. The Mass is the work of God. And so it's even more important than all of those beautiful things that we do for the love of neighbor. And finally, St. John Chrysostom, "How many of you say, you know, I would like to see his face, his garments, his sandals?" You do see him. You touch him. You eat him. He gives himself to you not only that you may see him, but also to be your food and nourishment. Now, I could go on and on and on. We could be here all night going through all these wonderful quotations of the saints, but, you know, y'all do have other things to do today, even as much as important as Mass is. Okay? There's no more important thing that ever happens in the world at any given moment than the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary, the Mass. And there's no better way to get to know, love, and serve God than to approach the altar with reverence, humility, and love, and receive Holy Communion. And when you give your heart entirely over to Jesus in the Mass and receive him, then some pretty amazing things can start to happen. And that's why we have to look at the way we go about coming to Mass. Okay? Now, of course, you know, whenever we have an encounter with the Word of God, then it's important that we receive a word of consolation and comfort. But there's also something which should you know, kind of get under our skin a little bit and say, you know, maybe I need to think about that. Maybe I need to bring something to prayer. And so we need to do that constant examination of conscience. So we're going to do that today. Okay? Do we look forward to coming to Mass on the Lord's Day, on holy days, on any day? Or is it just another obligation to check off in a box? Now, of course, you know, I'm never going to tell you, well, if it's just an obligation, then forget it. Don't come here, right? Because sometimes, you know, there are days in which, you know, we feel this need to come out of duty. Okay? Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Okay? But at the same time, do we really see the Mass as something that we look forward to? Do we schedule our days around the Mass? Or is it something that we try to fit in around otherly worldly concerns that can never give us peace and joy? Okay? When you're looking at all those practical details of life, and there are many of them, and they can get really crazy and overwhelming at times, okay, is the first thing that we think of is, when am I going to Mass? And everything else go around that? Or we're like, okay, well, I've got this to do and that other thing to do and that person to see, and then the laundry has to be folded, and then, you know, the kids have to be fed and all that, and yet somewhere Mass has to come in somewhere in there. How am I going to do that? What's the first thing that we do? Do we see ourselves going into a great banquet? Do we bathe ourselves in the blood of the Lamb by frequent confession? Do we have our wedding garment on of grace? Do we prepare to come to Mass as if we're going to a feast? Or do we just kind of roll out of bed and come as we are, as if we're going to go to anybody's house just to hang out? Okay? Again, there's nothing wrong with going to other people's houses to hang out. But when we come to the house of God for this great feast, this great banquet, then we should prepare with everything that we have for that. Do we arrive in plenty of time for Mass? Do we spend time praying over the readings and the prayers of the Mass? Okay? Think about how, you know, we've got the St. Isaac Jogues missals in the pew, okay? Then, you know, we can pray over those readings and those prayers and those antiphons and things to really kind of enter into what is the theme of this particular celebration of the Mass that we're getting into. Okay? Or do we sail in late and sit distracted for most of the time? Now, sometimes it's unavoidable, okay? Sometimes you may have been doing something that is required in your state in life, or you got out of work late or something, and Jesus understands that, right? Do we sing the hymns and pray the prayers with full, active, and conscious participation of mind, body, and soul? Or are we just warming a bench? There are no bench warmers in heaven. So why not get started now? Do we slink out of Mass after communion like Judas at the Last Supper? Okay. You should know by now that that drives me crazy. Okay. Ba-boom, 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 as we're all trying to pray and be with Jesus. Okay. Or do we stay behind after Mass? Okay. Think about the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. And 9 of them is like, hey, I'm healed, I'm done, bye. Didn't even stop to say thank you to Jesus. Only one stayed to thank him for the gift of healing. Do we stay behind after Mass to make a good act of thanksgiving? To ask for the Lord's help for the rest of the day, the week? Do we entrust to him all of our needs, our worries, our desires? Do we then stop after we've done our act of thanksgiving to quietly greet our neighbor, to see how our neighbor, who is part of the body of Christ, is doing? If you really want to get more out of Mass, then there's an extent into which you get out of it what you put in it. We have to be intentional about being Catholics. I've said this over and over again. And we have to be intentional about how we prepare for and live Holy Mass. St. Charles Borromeo wrote a letter once to his priests, and I meditate on this a lot. It's addressed to us, but I think it's useful for all of us to hear. He wrote, you know, Father complains that as soon as he comes into church to celebrate Mass, 1,000 thoughts fill his mind and distract him from the beginning. But what was he doing in the sacristy before Mass? How did he prepare? What means did he use to collect his thoughts and remain recollected? How can you give God more pleasing worship? If a tiny spark of God's love burns within you, don't expose it to the wind, for it may get blown out. Keep the stove tightly shut, that it will not lose its heat and grow cold. Avoid distractions as well as you can. Stay quiet with God. Don't spend your time in useless chatter. Those are good words for all of us. One of the best books I have ever read in my life, best spiritual classics, and I encourage you to read it as well, was written by Romano Guardini. And you can find two different versions of the same book, Preparing for Holy Mass and Meditations Before Mass. We have copies of them in the Adoration Chapel too. There are 32 short meditations that this Swiss priest gave his parishioners before Mass. And I promise you, if you pray through those meditations before you come to Mass, you'll never pray the Mass the same again. They really are quite incredible. I know that y'all are here tonight because you want to be holy. You want to be a saint. There may be part of you that thinks that's never going to happen. Yes, it will. To the extent that we all give ourselves over to what is happening here. If you want to be holy and you want to be a saint, the Mass is the best place for you to get what you really want. So let's figure it out together.